Open your Old Testaments, please, to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, the book of Songs, chapter 23. Wow, when I sat down, there was nobody here. But we have a great crowd, and we're thankful for your presence. We have a good many visitors here. Give us the opportunity to meet you. We want to meet you. We want to get to know you. We've got a very dear friend of mine in the audience, a former theater coach for me, and great example, Nancy Bingham Tumlinson. And I'm grateful she's here because she has meant a lot to me through my life. And I am so impressed and thankful for her wonderful teaching ability and example to so many people that I know. Terry's daddy, Hoover Cochran, passed from this life yesterday. And as you would be, and as I know I would be, Terry's hurting and in pain because she's lost her daddy. I will tell you that there was no place that I would go to lead singing in the close area of LaPorte that Brother Cochran didn't show up, at least whenever he had his health. And he always walked up to me with a great smile and would say something like, "I love to sing, and I love to sing with you." And he really had a great effect upon me in that way. Put your arms around Terry today. All of us will lose our parents unless we go first. But I will tell you this, that there's a great crown laid up for Hoover in heaven. Faithful, faithful Christian for more than 60 years. Psalms 23 is one of, if not the best known, and best loved text in all of Scripture. It has brought comfort and strength to those who fight on the battlefield. In the hospital, Psalms 23 comforts us at the graveside and to the people going through almost any kind of trial imaginable. I believe that the psalm is written by David. As a young man, David was a shepherd. So this is a song using an analogy from what he knew so very well. Now, I will tell you that sheep are interesting animals. From what I know, sheep have no sense of direction at all. They get easily lost. They have no effective manner of defense. They stink, and they're dirty. They are easily frightened. And that fright can paralyze, that anxiety can paralyze the sheep. Or it can make them run, not knowing what direction they're going to go. They have a poor sense of smell. And so the problem is that they can't easily find food. And they have a difficult time finding water, if you can imagine. And so these facts make the analogy between us and sheep pretty striking. We too are helpless without a shepherd. The first line, ladies and gentlemen, sums up the entire psalm for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need, or I shall not want. I shall not want doesn't mean we don't want the Lord. Don't misunderstand. It means that when we have Him, what else could we possibly want? He's all that we need. Now, I want you to think about the profound nature of this simple statement. Who created the universe? The Lord is the one who created the universe. And so, if you believe that, then you understand that He is timeless. He has always been. He will always be. He possesses all power. He possesses all knowledge. He is complete. There is nothing that He needs. He does not need us. And yet He has condescended Himself to be our shepherd. A shepherd, considered to be a most lowly role. That the God of this universe would incline Himself to be the shepherd of rebellious sheep, like me, and maybe oftentimes like you. He takes care of us. He desires to take care of us. We are well cared for. Can anybody argue that? I am reminded of Luke chapter 15. Jesus told a parable about a lost sheep. What did the shepherd do? He relentlessly searched for the sheep. Relentlessly searched for the sheep. Jesus said that the Father, that God, you see, feels that way about us. He relentlessly seeks us because He loves us. What about in John chapter 10? You remember John chapter 10? Jesus told us that He is the good what? He's the good shepherd. And what does He do? He lays down His life for the stinking, anxiety-filled, don't know where to go to get food, have a difficult time understanding that you need water and you need to go find that sheep. He said He knows His sheep. And His sheep know Him. The picture of Jesus as a shepherd, I believe, is well defined. In the King James Version, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The New Living Translation, which I like to go to oftentimes, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. What else do I need? I have all that I want. Left to themselves, a sheep lacks everything. They don't have a clue. Now, you know, people talk about their goals. I hear it all the time. And they say things like, you know, this is what I want to get out of life. Okay? This is what I want to get. And some will tell you what it is that they need. However, all these people come up empty, as I see it, in the end. They don't really know what they need. They don't really know what they want to satisfy themselves. And what we're going to see in these next verses is that God Almighty, you see, God Almighty meets our deepest needs. When you turn to Him, you are fulfilled. And the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, is He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can satisfy you and satisfy me. So the remainder of the psalm lists the needs God provides. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, okay? First of all, He provides comfort. And He provides rest. Let me tell you that I love the mountains and I love the green meadows before the mountain. And I love the peaceful streams that the mountain provides. And I will tell you that right after this service, if I had the way and means to do it, I would jump on an airplane, if I wouldn't get fired from work, and go straight to Colorado. And you know what I would do? I would get a car and I'd go straight to Estes Park. And then you want to know what I would do? I'd put on my hiking shoes and I would go up and find the nearest mountain with the nearest stream and the beautiful valley. And I would just sit there and enjoy God's beauty. I want to share with you a quote from an author who for 8 years was himself a shepherd. I want you to read this with me. I think it's fascinating. Sheep do not lie down easily. In fact, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Okay, this just cracked me up, okay? But I got to tell you something. This just reminds me so much of me, okay? Listen to what it says. Listen. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. They refuse. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. They will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. Now, do you see how much like sheep we are? How often do you find yourself so filled with anxiety that you have trouble sleeping? Now, come on. I can tell you that's happened to me many times in my life. Just a whole bunch. How frequently do you feel overwhelmed by the to-do list that you have? That long ago became way too unmanageable for you. Do you ever feel like your life is simply a blur, moving from one place to the other? The shepherd brings his sheep to green meadows. He brings his sheep to the Rocky Mountain spring. Can't you hear that spring? Can't you hear that water? Can't you feel the coolness of the valley below the Rocky Mountains? The shepherd brings his sheep there, and he makes his sheep lie down. Maybe this helps you, as it does me, understand the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Maybe it is that God was trying to help us learn that we all need to rest, that we all need to regroup, that we all just need to sit down and close our eyes and focus and adjust and understand and be at peace, Christians. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Our shepherd has provided us a way to know rest, to know his rest, anytime we want it. The same way David was able to experience it, and that through prayer. He strengthens us. He renews us. The King James says, he restores my soul. Other versions say, he restores my life. The New Living Translation says, he renews my strength. The author enlightens us when he said, sometimes sheep lie down in a little hollow. They'll lie down in a little depression. And they may roll over on their side, and they oftentimes will stretch themselves. However, when they do that, oftentimes the sheep will lose their center of gravity. And guess what happens? They roll on their back, and their feet go up in the air. And this causes the sheep to panic because they have a difficult time getting up. And what they do is they kick and they flounder. And that makes the problem worse. And it becomes quite impossible for them to get back on their feet in a standing position. And then guess what happens? Gases build up in their body and it cuts off the circulation in their leg. I'm not making this up. In only a matter of hours, the sheep can die. The sheep needs the help of the shepherd to restore their soul and to restore their equilibrium. Are you getting this? At times a sheep will get lost. Why? Because it gets distracted. And it wanders away. If the sheep does this perpetually, now this is what I'm told. The shepherd, when he finally finds the sheep, will grab the sheep, rescue the sheep, and then abruptly break its leg. What? Then he splints the leg. And then he takes the sheep and holds the sheep close to his heart. The lamb then must fully rely on the shepherd for everything. The shepherd does this to teach the sheep, the lamb, to more fully trust the shepherd. He does it to save the sheep from himself. He rescues us from trouble. He puts us firmly on the right path. And he helps us to learn obedience. How in the world can we not believe in a God who could provide us with an analogy so true? Who would stoop to shepherd us and to go through the pains necessary to keep us upright. You want to know why? He loves us. We're his children. He's concerned for our soul. And that's why he puts us through that. Oftentimes. I've had my leg broken, I can tell you, on several occasions. And indeed did he splint it and hold me close to his breast. He will strengthen you. He will renew you. He will direct your path. Now, from what I read, sheep are not very smart. In fact, they're rather ignorant. They can easily wander away to where fields are barren and where water is unfit to drink. David tells us that the shepherd guides me along right paths. Isn't that what it says? Bringing honor to his name. In this case, I really prefer the older translation. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me. He directs me. He provides the GPS for me. And like sheep, we are easily distracted by the contemporary trends, I suppose, of maybe a good advertising campaign. Co-workers, others that we call our friends. Because you see, we are highly impressionable. That's the reason why these manufacturers spend so much time and so much money on advertisement. Have you gone to a movie theater after you have eaten a huge meal? Maybe you've taken your wife out on date night, or guys, maybe you've taken a girl out somewhere, or maybe girls, you just had ladies' night out, and y'all ate a big meal. And then you got to the theater, you got your tickets, and you walked in there, and what'd you smell? You smelled the popcorn, the buttery popcorn, and you just couldn't resist the smell. Now listen, you didn't need the food, all right, because you're stuffed to the brim with papados, all right? But you get to the theater, and you can't resist the smell. Like sheep, we are completely lost as to the right way to go. We are seduced by the values of this culture that we are living in. Amen? And like popcorn, or like the popcorn, we desire what the advertisers tell us we need. He created us. He has a purpose for our lives. Don't you see? Every last one of us, He made us to live in fellowship with Him. He made us to live in perfect harmony with Him. We are made after His image, ladies and gentlemen. He knows that we will never be complete and we will never know contentment until we rest it with Him, until we rest in His arms. Now, I've got to tell you something. I have been knot-headed enough in my life not to be able to just stop and understand what the Lord is telling me and just submit myself to that, because it's an absolute gospel truth. And so, consequently, He's continually trying to lead me in the right way, in spite of Steve Garrett. Now, how does He do this? Well, He does it through Scripture. That's one way. I think He does it through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Didn't you love Daniel's sermon 2 weeks ago? What a powerful young man he is in the Scripture. But he taught us that the Holy Spirit empowers us. That's how He leads us in the right way. He directs us. Sometimes He teaches us through the screaming of our own conscience. And sometimes with the circumstances of life. He does this so that we will find our true purpose. What's your true purpose? Where do you find your true purpose? Your true purpose is found in Him and in His direction for you and for me. He will direct our path, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm here to tell you something. There ain't no way in the world that can happen unless you submit to Him. And that's up to you and to me. He removes fear and anxiety. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, or the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Sheep have to travel from high pasture to low valleys as they seek water and rich pasture. At times, sheep face great danger. Wild animals are lurking in the canyon walls. Storms sweep through the valley, causing flash flood, which oftentimes overtake the sheep. And the deep shadows of night are scary, and they hide danger. The shepherd's rod and his staff brought comfort to the sheep. The rod was an oak club, about 2 foot long. And the head was usually round, and it was whittled out of the knot of a tree. And what they would do is they would take that knot and they would insert metal into that knot. Okay? Now, why is it that you think they did that? Insert that metal into the tip. That shepherd would use his club as a weapon. He could fight off wild animals. And from what I am told, he had the ability, the good shepherds, to take that 2-foot rod and hurl it like a spear, like a missile. And he is very accurate with it. It was a weapon. He could pick off a predator from a distance. The staff was a pole that had a rounded hook on the end. And it could dislodge a sheep from whatever nightmare he got himself into. If it was a thicket, you know, or back in the brush somewhere, or among the thorns and bristles, he could help retrieve a sheep with that staff. Maybe the sheep fell in a hole. Whatever the case might be, he would rescue. It could pull a sheep from danger. Now, what about our shepherd? Is he with us in all kinds of darkness, in all kinds of storms, in all kinds of problems, in all kinds of health issues, in all types of anxiety and trouble that we might have to deal with? It may be the darkness of depression and anxiety for which you're having to live. And there's a whole bunch of people that are having to deal with such things. And serious illness, rejection, loss, failure, whatever, disappointments. No matter what the situation, we need not be afraid, because we walk with the shepherd. We walk with the Lord. But that's not all. The great shepherd is the light of the world. I just can't help but think about Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. Are you familiar with this verse? "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the path that they have not known. I will make darkness light for them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Well, I'll tell you what this reminded me of. This reminded me of the New Testament verse in the Gospel, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. You want to walk in darkness? Then don't follow him," okay? You won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And then what follows up is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, chapter 5. 1 John 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Many commentators on Psalms chapter 23 have noticed that the second person pronoun, you, replaces the third person pronoun, he, at this point. Now, I will tell you that my old English teacher is in the assembly this morning, and she tried to teach me this, but it was about 30 years later that I finally got it. Not because she wasn't a great teacher, but because I was not a good listener. Earlier we read, "He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me. But now I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Italics added, "We are never so conscious of the presence of God as when we pass through life's valleys." Is that right? Are you going through a period of darkness in your life this morning? Bound to be somebody up in here that is going through some kind of a dark trial. Do you feel alone? Do you feel vulnerable? Our shepherd is not blinded by darkness. He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows exactly where we are. He knows the way through the darkness back to the light. In the time of darkness, understand that you trust the shepherd because he is light. And in him there is no darkness. He provides for us. David continues, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head." I don't want you to forget that, because I'm going to give you an illustration in a minute, and I want to drive it home. You anoint my head. With oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Now, what is this a picture of? This is a picture of a banquet as I see it, a great banquet. Has David changed his sheep analogy? What say ye? This is fascinating to me. He tells of the shepherd who comes to a new field in which he plans to graze his flock. The shepherd doesn't just turn them loose. He inspects the field for vipers, small brown snakes that live under the ground. These snakes frequently pop out of their tiny little holes, and they nip the sheep on their noses. I'm not making this up. This is the truth, okay? And this can cause inflammation. And in some situations, it can kill the sheep. The shepherd keeps the sheep from the field until he can inspect it. He walks up and down the field looking for these small holes. And when he finds a hole, he takes a bottle of thick oil and he pours a circle of oil at the top of each viper's hole. And he also spreads the oil over each shepherd's head. And in that sense, he anoints them, rubbing their heads with his oil. And when the viper senses the sheep has tried to strike him, he finds that he cannot get out of the hole because of the oil. And if a viper's hole is missed, the smell of the oil on the head of the sheep repels the snake. How many viper holes are all around us, ladies and gentlemen? Waiting to strike us, to nip us on the nose. Jesus provides the thick oil to anoint our head and to cover the viper hole. Are you going through a period of darkness in your life? Do you feel completely alone? Do you feel vulnerable? The shepherd is there. The shepherd makes the sheep safe. They are cared for. They are provided for. John chapter 14. You know where I'm going? Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Guess where the place is going to be? The place is going to be free of danger. I'm going to prepare a place. And as believers, we know that our shepherd will prepare a place for us at his table. And we will be vindicated before our enemies. You can learn more about that, Psalm chapter 26. But the point is that we're going to have everything we need. There's not going to be anything that we don't need that we won't get. Because David says our cup, what? It overflows. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of abundance. God is not simply interested in keeping us alive. He wants us to enjoy him. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a little secret. He wants us to enjoy this world he made. He really does. He provides for us far more than what we could ever need or what we could ever want. But don't make the mistake of only thinking in terms of the physical. Our greatest blessings are certainly not those that are found here in this world. He provides for us a heavenly home. The promise is incredible. We will live in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. We will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's set this in context and let's understand. Remember, we're talking about Jehovah, the creator of the universe, who is timeless. Matter does not affect him because he creates matter. He is king. There are no other gods before him. And he, through his love and intense desire for us, has made a way for us to become his adopted children so that we can be in his house and sit at his table forever. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus tell us that he came? So that we could have what? Eternal life. That's why he came. There's no question as to whether or not he came. We know that he came. He told us that those of us who truly put our trust in him and obey him, as a shepherd with a sheep, right? We will live even though we, John chapter 11, die. We will live even though we die, Terry. We will be where Jesus is. And as we near that point of life that we call death, the believers should have a different outlook. I know that's not easy, but you should have a different outlook from the unbeliever. And I think that's something that we've got to train ourselves to. The unbeliever believes that this life is all there is. And death is viewed somewhat as a cliff. And you stand on the edge of the cliff, and that's the end of everything. You just fall off. And such a person can only hope that some loved one will have a fond remembrance of them at least 20 years or 30 years after they die. I loved my great-grandfather so much. He died when I was 8 years old. I didn't think I would ever forget his face as an 8-year-old. It's difficult for me to remember just what he looked like. That was a long time ago. But for the one who has put their trust in Christ, death takes on a different face, don't you see? Now this is important, folks. Why does death take on a different face? Because of the resurrection of our Lord, we know that death is not the end. Because he has conquered death, this is not all there is. Death becomes the beginning of true life. It is reaching our destination. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners here. We're finally arriving home after this long journey. When I was a boy, Mom and Daddy would take us to Colorado. I love Colorado, if you didn't figure that out already. They put us in the station wagon and start driving from Port Arthur, Texas to Amarillo is over 12 hours. Okay. I didn't think I'd ever get there. And then you spend the night in Amarillo, okay, provided that all the kids didn't act ugly and Dad threatened to turn the car around and go home, which he did on more than one occasion. You get to Amarillo, then the next day you got to get back in the car and you got to drive another 8 hours or however long it is. It's forever. To get to that place of beauty, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It is as if all our life we are making a journey to the celestial city, don't you see? And at the time of death, we finally arrive home. Once we're there, we don't have to leave. It no more goodbyes. I'm so thankful that next Saturday, Ashlyn is going to come home from Jacksonville, Florida, where she's been in PA school all this time, and I don't have to put her on a plane again and send her back. She's coming home. In heaven, there's not going to be any more goodbyes. Isn't that wonderful? So the question is, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who do you trust when life gets hard or the way becomes uncertain? To whom are you looking for direction? Is it your teacher? Is it your psychologist? Is it a coach? Is it your spouse? Is it your grandmother? All of these folks, I'm certain, are quite good people. But the truth is that they're sheep too. Bah. We're all sheep who have gone astray. They can never do what only the shepherd can do. Don't you see that, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you understand? And when you finally quit fighting, when you finally quit fighting this, and you open yourself up to Christ's care, then you will be able to say with David, what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? Do you want to be shepherded by Jesus the Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Submit to Him. Obey Him. Cling to Him. Look to Him for direction. Look to Him for strength. Look to Him for courage. Obey the gospel this morning. Simple. Turn away from your past sin, the ugliness, the stench that a sheep can bring, and turn yourself to the guidance of the shepherd. Confess His name as your shepherd and be baptized. You want me to tell you what the baptism's going to do? The baptism's going to get rid of the parasites, the fleas, and the ticks. Oh, yeah. It's going to wash you clean. Then you're going to be a good-smelling sheep. You're going to be a lamb without spot or blemish in the care, the fold of the Lord. Are you subject to that invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
It was a most solemn occasion when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. His earthly ministry was nearly at an end. the agony of Gethsemane, his betrayal by Judas, his trial, condemnation, his beating and scourging and crucifixion were less than 24 hours away. The weight of the world's sin lay heavy on his mind, and the shadows of the cross grew deeper and darker. To prepare himself and his apostles for the dreadful ordeal ahead, Jesus gathered the 12 about him in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. Jesus sought strength in this spiritual feast. For 1,500 years, the annual observance of the Passover had been a reminder to the Jews of their deliverance by the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb. John the Baptist had indicated that Jesus would be the sacrifice for Christians when he looked up and saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Prior to shedding his own blood for the sins of the world, Jesus desired to establish an institution by which the memory of his sacrificial death would be kept alive forever. So he instituted the Lord's Supper, and we can read about that in the 26th chapter of Matthew and the 22nd chapter of Luke. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the apostles and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus established the Lord's Supper as a memorial to his death on Calvary. He wanted to be remembered. He wanted us to remember that he died for our sins. He wanted us to remember his life, miracles, sermons, resurrection, and intercession, and all of the other things that he did. But he especially wanted us to remember his atoning death on the cross. By observing the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, as they did in the early church, the apostolic church, we keep alive the memory of Christ in our minds. We feed our souls on this supper. It is a spiritual meal. And when we eat and drink at the Lord's table, we receive strength, edification, comfort, assurance. Our faith is to be strengthened. Our hopes are to be revived. Our zeal is to be rekindled. Our trust is to be deepened, and our love intensified when we commune with Christ around his table. If we are to be spiritual and grow in Christ-likeness, we must be faithful in making the Lord's Supper a part of our lives on the first day of the week. Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so much thankful for thy Son who came down to this earth and lived and died on the cross. Help us to take this bread which represents that body which was shed on the cross, and help us to remember back and bless this bread. In Christ we pray. Amen.